This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday to all of you. We are just a couple days away from Texans and Packers. Game that's got a lot of juice on Sunday. It's going to be right here on Sports Radio 610, starting at 9 a.m. with Texans Countdown, noon kick. Seth and I have you for Texans Countdown, and we've got you for the next 4 hours here this morning. Good to be with you. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. It's dawning on me that it is Thursday, and it's time to really start fostering a hatred for the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
It's hard. It's hard sometimes with these NFC North teams. You know, Minnesota, it feels like a strange and exotic land that you're barely even aware that I don't even know if it's part of the contiguous United States or not, or if it's like Alaska.
We annexed it in. Yeah.
Wisconsin, I know a little bit just because from watching Making a Murderer, but other than that, kind of distant and far off.
Yeah,
not typically. You only see them every few years.
Where you at with the Lions? Did we get them in a few weeks? How you feeling about them?
Lions, I'm still protesting the fact that they're in the Eastern time zone. That always screws me up. It doesn't make any sense that Detroit seems like the most Midwestern of all Midwestern.
It's an odd thing to get worked up over, but I can feel you on that one. Yeah.
It really pisses me off whenever I fly through Detroit. Yeah. I'm like, wait, what the hell? No, this is a central time zone city.
Feels like it. Yeah. What about Chicago? What about the Bears? We've already had to play them, but they're probably the most hated out of all those people up there, I would say, of those teams, right?
Yeah.
The Bears?
Yeah, they're the ones that, plus, not to mention, I get that one of their hot dog joints is going to open up a restaurant.
Portillo's. Yeah.
What is it called? Portillo's?
Portillo's. And they have Italian beef sandwiches that are excellent. Yeah.
They do?
Yes. You know,
where are they opening? I just saw the headline in the Chronicle.
Places like this, I don't know. It's a good question. They usually start out in the suburbs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they plunk, because they, Chicago, they tried doing Gino's East here several years ago, their big pizza joint up there, and it didn't work. But they plunked it down in the Woodlands. Like the other Midwestern eatery that you can find here in Houston, but up in the Woodlands, is Culver's. Have you ever had Culver's? It's a burger. It's not fast food, but it's kind of in between.
No, they've got frozen custard.
Custard's good.
Awesome.
Yeah. But they're in the Woodlands, so I don't know. I would imagine somewhere out in the burbs, but Portillo's is very good. The Italian beef sandwiches are excellent.
I think there's a few Culver's, actually, because I got excited when I saw them because of the frozen custard.
Yeah, the custard and the cheese curds. Those are the big things. And the butter burger. That's what Culver's is known for.
So the hatred for the Packers, it's hard to... I don't have any hatred for Jordan Love. Has he ever said anything that I should get offended by or anything?
No.
I'm going to dig into his politics.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. No. Jair Alexander, I think, is probably the most one. Like he's had sound bites through the years and everything, just never directed at the Texans. So
boy,
I'll try to maybe come up with a reel of things to get worked up over Jair Alexander.
Yeah, you're making it. Thursday is usually the day that I go into the laboratory and come up with five reasons I hate you. And typically, like last week, it was very easy. It's the Patriots. Took 5 minutes. All I had to do was just go through my own Rolodex in my brain, and we were good to go. You're right. This is going to be Packers, five reasons I hate the Packers. If people want to help out with that on the text page this morning, I'm here for it. The less work I need to do, the better. So 713-572-4610. But good point, Seth. We got to get some hatred worked up over the Green Bay Packers over these next 2 days.
Feels like Xavier McKinney had a run-in with a Texan at some point. It was in one of his previous stops. I'm not sure, but he's got five interceptions on the year so
far. I hate
far.
Him for that, because yeah. CJ's had a... By CJ standards, he's had a bit of an interception problem this year.
Yeah, CJ flat out said he's been kind of sloppy this year with the ball security. And going into this game versus the Packers, lead the NFL in takeaways.
Yeah.
And they take, I was kind of astounded. I had to, you know how I am with statistics, Sean. I had to triple check myself on this
yeah.
morning.
And?
So far this season, basically one out of every four drives, the Packers take the ball away from the
wow.
offense. 24.1% of the time, the offense ends their drive in a turnover.
Not going to lie, that sounds
Packers
like
defense.
Quite a lot, Seth.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's like three a game or so.
Yeah.
That's kind of nuts. So, I think I'm glad that CJ is crushing himself and saying he's been sloppy with the football this year, because this is a week that you really need to focus against.
That was funny yesterday. I heard the same thing you did. We'll have some CJ later on in the show, but it was funny because the way the question was framed, I don't know who asked it, the way the question was framed was like positioning it like CJ's been really good with ball security and protecting the football.
How are you so awesome?
Yeah.
It was, hey, how are you so awesome at not turning the ball over?
And I'm
like, oh, they're kind of sloppy.
Right. Well, when the question was asked, I'm like, okay, well, I don't know who asked that, but by CJ standards, he's not been good protecting. Like, the standard for CJ that he set in his rookie year was historically good at protecting the football.
Yeah.
He's turned the ball. He's got four interceptions this year, and he had a fumble, which the fumble may, you know, I don't think he's getting blamed for that fumble, but it goes on his ticket. And I was proud of CJ that he acknowledged that he actually hadn't been that great protecting the football of late.
Right, and even the Dalton Schultz one, which seems to be the biggest debate thing on social media right now about whether or not it was Dalton Schultz's fault
for not
competing for the ball more. I mean, the guy, I have a hard time. That's one of those situations where I feel like, all right, you definitely could have been more competitive there, but it wasn't like it was a bad play by Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
It was while throwing under duress, it wasn't a perfect pass by CJ,
mm-hmm.
more than anything. And that's what yielded the turnover.
Yes.
You could say Dalton Schultz should have had a chance at plucking it out of the air or whatever, but that ultimately was just, that one was on CJ. So we've seen more of that this year as teams have, they've made it more difficult to operate, and I think he talked about it, just, you know, finding that balance between taking chances,
yeah.
but also taking care of the football, and it's been a lot harder this year.
I am nervous about the injury report yesterday. We'll see what it looks like today, but no Azeez Al-Shaair yesterday, no Henry Toa, he's in concussion protocol. No Foley Fatakasi, that was one that popped up. We'll see if that, you know, again, it's Wednesday, so, like, for example, Laremy last week didn't practice on Wednesday. He was full go on Thursday just because he's nursing an ankle. Laremy was full go yesterday, so that was good to see. But the other big ones are Robert Woods, and the really big ones are Jimmy Ward and Kamari Lassiter. So half of your secondary is probably going to miss. And the reports on Lassiter and Ward are they're going to miss this game. Those
are
the reports
out there.
They're out.
Yeah.
So you got half your secondaries out. I think even more importantly, these top two linebackers. Like, is there a chance? I mean, I guess there is. That we're going into this Green Bay game with Green Bay having all these weapons. They got three tight ends that can hurt you. They got multiple wide receivers that can spread you out. That the linebackers you're going into this game with could be Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen.
And it's a lot harder to cover them up and protect them in coverage when you're down in your defensive backfield as well.
Correct, yeah.
So that's the – and in the last couple of weeks versus the Bills and the Patriots, the wide receiving corps weren't as complete and deep as they are for the Packers.
That's right.
Packers, it's not like there's a superstar necessarily, but I'd say it's a better overall and more threatening group of wide
Deeper
receivers.
Deeper, for sure.
And with a quarterback in Jordan Love who's better than, certainly not better than Josh Allen, but better than Drake May, the rookie.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so I think did you put this in here or did I put this in here? This cut from the D'Amico Ryan's coaches show.
I put that in there, man.
Okay. I was just making sure. There's, you know, sometimes things pop up. Did I put this in here last night?
That's
wanna,
all right.
You want to set this bad boy up here?
Yeah, this is D'Amico asked about how do you practice when so many guys are banged up and injured. I found this, from a former player's perspective, I found this interesting.
For me, I adjust on a weekly basis off of, like, how was the game, the past game that we played, or how many guys we have were sore or beat up. So right now, our practice structure will change a little bit where we're doing more walkthrough type practice on a Wednesday to let guys get themselves back, and the guys who would be out, you allow them to still go out and get some mental reps because it's walkthrough and it's not a fast-paced tempo. Thursday is work day. We're going to put the pads on. You got to put the work in, so that'll be that day. And then Friday, we pull back on the guys as well. We do one full-speed period, and then we'll have a jog through for the last three periods of practice. So making sure at this point in the season, you just make sure, I know our guys know how to play. Like, and that was a big thing for me last year, teaching guys how to practice, how to work, like, what's our swarm mentality, how the Texans play football. Our guys, they rep our style on game day. So for me, it's a matter of not just trying to teach that or get that during the week, but can our guys show up fresh and ready to go on Sunday so they can rep Texan brand of football?
So this is the time of year when, I think it's earlier than it used to be when you start doing these kinds of modified practice schedules. And this, it really tests the veteran presence on your team, because it's really hard for young guys to sometimes focus and pay attention when there's no physicality in practice. Yeah. So this is where the veteran leadership really, really matters, is still paying attention to detail. And it is, it gets to a point where you're kind of, if you are healthy, you're kind of like, I don't know if I'm doing it. I don't feel like I'm getting enough work here.
I feel like I'm being given a day off.
For guys that like to practice and feel like you're getting better during the week and seeing things at speed, it's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because you do, it's, you're getting mental reps and everything, which are great and awesome, but it's never quite the same as the real thing. And that is where the veterans really got to keep after the younger guys. They're like, hey, all right, like be sure you're paying attention, thinking about this, going through. You got to get 10 mental reps to replace one physical rep.
Yeah.
And it's, I as a fan, I get nervous now, too. They're not... You got to work them harder, well, D'Amico. These guys are going to get soft. That's how I feel.
It's really, I love your perspective on it as a former player. He had a really interesting answer that we'll get to in the next segment, just because it's like a minute long. But about, I found it interesting because I always wonder this too. I'm like, how do you get better at tackling during the season? How do you guys get better at tackling, period?
Yeah.
Because you guys don't truly tackle anymore. They just, one day a week they put pads on and they thud. And D'Amico had a really interesting answer that made me feel a whole lot better about it yesterday.
Oh, good. I never know if that stuff's interesting or not.
It's interesting to me. No, I don't know.
It's interesting to me. I never know if it's interesting to other people, because I could do a 1-hour clinic on in-season tackling practice.
You know the answer. You heard his you know the answer about yesterday. I thought it was really interesting. So we'll get to that in the next segment. We'll dig in on the Packers as we go along here. 9 o'clock today, we're going to be joined by Marcus Eversole, who is in afternoon drive on 107.5 The Fan up in Green Bay. I was on his show yesterday, so doing a little home and home. We'll get a Packers perspective on things, get to know the opponent a little bit later on in the show at 9 o'clock. Will Anderson, he won some hardware yesterday. Defensive player of the week means he got to wear the chain that apparently Nick Caserio is not a very big fan of. We'll have a little good Caserio audio from yesterday. He joined us on the show. And we'll hear from Will Anderson, his thoughts on winning Defensive Player of the Week. That's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We'll get to Will Anderson here in just a minute. You guys are sending in some really good reasons to hate Green Bay. I'm saving these for tomorrow when we do five reasons I hate you. I'll read one of them because it's not going to wind up in the five reasons. I don't want to read text like this, okay? Green Bay is pleasant if you can get past the ugly broads. All right? I know you like using the word
what
broads.
What the hell is this?
Yeah,
what are we in the WWE? This is a classy joint.
This
here.
Is, yeah.
Yeah.
Stop bringing the classiness down of this joint, okay?
Tell you one thing about those broads. They have a good time.
They do. They do have a good time. They have a good time.
Say what you want about, anything about them, but they have a good time.
They have a good time. Yeah. And I don't think that I've been up there a few times, man. Underrated, I think. A little underrated.
The Green Bay fan base is the least annoying of the huge national teams.
Yes.
The teams that have nationwide fan bases. The Packers, for whatever reason.
Put a pin in that one. I want to hit that later. That's a good one. I like that topic. That's good.
They're not as psychotic as some of the
other
ones.
They're not even close. Yeah, they're not even close. We'll get to Will Anderson in a second, but we were talking about the Texans, and obviously big concern over the injuries right now. DeMeco is a reputed hard practicer. You know, he skews more towards the end that likes physicality in his practices. So that's always a question. Like, hey, how much is this playing into the injury? They had a lot of injuries last year. That was a topic last year. You know, they were the most injured team in the league last year. So DeMeco, we played some audio from him on the coach's show in the previous segment where he's adapting to that. I thought this was cool. Like, as a regular Joe, Seth, I'm a simple man who just looks at it through the prism of a regular guy, a regular fan. And I say to myself, when teams are tackling poorly, how do they get better at it? And the Texans have been much better tackling this year. They were wretched at times last year. They were much better this year. I thought this was pretty cool. Like, this is a good answer from DeMeco yesterday at the press conference. Like, how do you work on tackling during the season when you're doing walkthroughs and you're not bringing guys to the ground?
To teach tackling in season, it's a mindset. It's always a mindset. Like, you want to get the guy down or not. And you show up with the mindset that you want to get the guy down, you'll get him down. And then it comes to in practice, we're not physically tackling in practice, but it's about body positioning. Are you putting yourself in good body position, good posture? Are you taking the proper angles? Are you closing with the proper tracking angle inside out on guys? And is everybody running to the football in practice? That's how you work tackling in practice. And we have one day that we put the pads on, and every time we have the pads on, we want to make sure we're thudding and stopping the ball carrier in the hole. That's how you work your tackling in season. When you can't be too physical, you're not going to the ground, but you can still get better at putting your body in the right spot and wrapping up.
To a simple man like me, that answer made sense. I'm like, okay. I feel better about things now.
Yeah, there's not they haven't tackled in practice in the NFL since like the 1970s probably.
Right.
So it's not like it's anything new. It's just that is when you're wearing pads more often, it's easier to coach up the thudding them up and having the problem. But even when teams wear pads, it varies widely from coaches to coaches how much they really zero in on the fundamentals. Because even in pads, guys will get lazy and kind of just lower a shoulder and you're like, yeah, I would have tackled him there instead of really squaring up or taking the right angle and all of that. So it's a matter of attention to detail. So right now, the Texans have the 13th most missed tackles in the NFL.
Okay.
Which isn't great, but last year they had the second most missed tackles in the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah, they've improved.
So they're
I do think they've gotten sloppier. The first couple of weeks they were really, really good. They had very few missed tackles.
Among the best in the league, yeah.
Yeah. And since then it's gotten a little bit sloppier. 2 weeks ago versus the Bills, I thought it was really sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Last week they cleaned it up a little bit. But it's something that this defense this defense has played really well, but without necessarily really shining in any one particular area. They've just been really good at swarming to the ball, getting a good, not a record-breaking pass rush, but a really good and quality pass rush, and putting a lot of pressure on other teams. Like, they're leading the league in pressure rate. That's a little bit misleading at times. The tackling is the one where it's the least glamorous, but it yields the biggest dividend. So they need to continue to focus on this throughout the season. They can't regress to the sloppiness of last year.
Well, and they're playing a running back this week that'll make them pay if they don't tackle. Josh Jacobs is really good. at breaking tackles. And so it's got to be a focus this week, man. The Packers are a talented offensive football team.
They've got they're facing this Packers offense with possibly two backup linebackers.
Yeah.
You've got Danico Autry coming back as Mario Edwards leaves. They're different types of players. Danico Autry is a better overall football player, but Mario Edwards is built a little bit more like an actual defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they, it'll be really interesting to see how much Danico Autry plays inside. I think that's mostly going to be on passing downs, and then the rest of the bunch of guys, this rotation at defensive tackle probably stays the same on rundowns.
Yeah, we'll hit Danico Autry. We'll hit that hard in the 7 o'clock hour at the top of the hour. We'll start to dig in hardcore on Green Bay. And yeah, Danico Autry coming back is big, man. It's something I'm very anxious to see. That is definitely, like, if we're looking at things to watch for in this game, Danico Autry and his return is a big one, because all sounds of it from both Caserio and from D'Amico are that he's ready to go. Like, there's, you know, he's in shape. Whatever injuries he may have been dealing with in training camp, those are done. Like, he's getting plugged in and he's going to play on Sunday. So we'll see what that looks like. Will Anderson, AFC Defensive Player of the Week. This was the easiest one to predict out of the four that the Texans have won so far this year. Two for Kaimi, one for Joe Mixon, and now we got one on defense with Will Anderson, and he was really excited yesterday. He's really excited every day, if we're being honest. Here was Will Anderson yesterday on how the veterans, he's the young guy. That's probably the oldest room in the building of all the position groups. You got Danielle Hunter, who's pushing 30. You've got Mario Edwards Jr., 30. Danico Autry's coming back. He's 33. Foley Fatakasi's been around a while. That is an older room. Will is by far the youngest guy in that room. Here's Will on the vets helping him.
I just got to give another big shout-out to my D-line, man. Like, they've been such a great help. Like, I was walking off the field with Danico today, man, and me and him was having some words, and I was telling him, like, I appreciate them so much, man, because they give me so much confidence. They help me. They build me up, man, and they don't even know how much I'm so grateful and thankful for them, that they're here and they're able to help me achieve my goals as well.
Yeah. That's got to be nice if you're an older player. Because as an older player, I don't know if it's the code in the NFL or not, but it feels like the good people who are players as they get older pour into the younger guys because they were poured into as a young guy. It's got to feel good pouring into a guy like Will Anderson, who you know is probably taking every bit of what you're giving him and applying it, you know?
Yeah, you know how it is when you're talking to young people.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're just like, man, am I getting true to this guy?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, young people out there, this is one thing. Do yourself a favor. When sometimes you might not realize it. Like, you might be really listening to somebody, but if you're not showing it in your facial expression, they don't have a clue whether they're getting through to you.
That's right.
High school football teams are the toughest because everybody's trying to be hard. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to look at you like, and you can't tell. Like, yeah, these guys are, I can't tell. What are they responding to me? Are they angry at me? Are they tweeting? Well, they're not on Twitter. Are they Instagramming or TikToking nasty things about me right now? I don't know. I don't know.
Do a TikTok about me after I walk out of here? Yeah. This guy.
This guy's TikToking me right now. I know.
I can feel it.
You can see it in his eyes.
This was interesting. I was very curious what the answer was going to be about this one, because I said this about Will Anderson's day on Sunday, is that he had a box score that looked a lot like what J.J. Watt used to do. 8 of this, 5 of these, 4 of those, 3 of these. He was asked about having a J.J. Watt type of day on Sunday.
I respect this game so much, and I look up to J.J., man. He's been a great, you know, role model in my life. He's been helping me, you know, keeping me encouraged and everything like that, man. And you just got to keep going. Can't get comfortable. And I think Coach Ryan's, he always hit it on the head, man. Just staying on edge. And that's for me and my mentality. That's how I always operate, man. It's like, yeah, that's good, but like, what's next? What you gonna do now? So it's just about just enjoying the process, man, loving this process, falling in love with this process, man, to keep growing, keep getting better each week. And that's just my biggest thing, is how can I get 1% better each week, and how can I stay consistent as long as possible until the end of the season?
He's encouraging you. Are you guys in communication?
Okay, he texts me, he's like, have a day, man. And he always texts me every time, you know, something good happens or if you see something, man. And like I said, he's been a great role model for me, man. He's been a great guy to have in my corner to help.
Good answer, Will. Good answer.
So Will Anderson has J.J. Watt on his side, yep. And C.J. Stroud has Tom Brady in his personal group of advisors.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Good call.
I'll accept Tom Brady. For a while there, I was like, hey, C.J., don't take Tom Brady's calls. You can't trust him. Now he's the owner of the Raiders. You never know, man. Just be careful. But then I grudgingly said, like, you know what, CJ? That's all right. You can accept Tom Brady's calls.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
So it's annoying because I have to, well, you know, CJ's got the restraining order on me and everything, so I have to kind of like send it through other channels.
I understand.
But he gets the message, yeah, I think. Probably.
I understand. Yeah. Can Brady still call him, or is it tampering now? He's owner of the Raiders. Are they allowed to speak with each other on that level anymore?
You're allowed to have those conversations with coaches and everything. Okay. It comes up every now and then. But you're right. You know it. Now that he's an owner, the tampering... Yeah, he's got to be careful.
And Brady,
I don't think it's going to change the way he operates.
Brady
anything,
does. But. He does like to straddle the line of the rule book, you know?
Oh, he likes to go have a lunch on a yacht in Miami with the Dolphins back in the day.
I didn't know what PSI was in a football. It's just...
Well, look, I change my cell phone every 3 months. What?
Yeah.
What? No.
I destroy my cell phone every 3 months.
I always rent a helicopter and fly over a volcano and toss it into the magma every 3 months. That's what I do.
Does everybody else not do that?
Maybe I'm a little out of touch with the common man.
Yeah, I just thought everybody did this. Okay, maybe not.
You know what, Sean? That's a great point, though. What if CJ loses one of his best resources, the mentor that is Tom Brady?
Yeah.
At the very least, he maybe can't, you know, kind of casually name drop Tom Brady every now and then.
That's right.
Remember last week when after the game last week when some Patriots reporter was like, CJ, I know you're not that old, but have you ever heard of Tom Brady? And did you ever think about maybe, you know, like trying to like take something from his game? And CJ's like, yeah, listen, we've got Brady and I are tight. What the hell are you talking about?
One of my favorite.
And then he did the thing from Laverne and Shirley.
Okay.
Where he tipped it.
The little gesture, yeah.
Who was that? Was it Squiggy that would do that?
I think Lenny or Squiggy, one of them, yeah.
They put their hand under their chin.
One would put the hand under the chin. The other one would bite their fist. I think it was Lenny did the hand under the chin, yeah. Kids, Laverne and Shirley was this show, .. Nick Caserio, we had him on yesterday. As long as we're talking about Will Anderson, the video of Will Anderson getting the Player of the Week chain yesterday was tremendous. Will was so happy.
I bet he was, yeah.
He was so happy. The sense I get is I don't think Nick Caserio is a big fan of the turnover, or the, not the turnover chain, the Player of the Week chain.
I lived in Providence and was actually, it was an old office building, two-story office building. They turned into a two-story apartment. And this was kind of the apartment where, like, the windows could go up and down. There weren't locks. So, like, if somebody wanted to jump in a window in the middle of the night, like, they could probably do that. So if I locked myself out of the house, like, that's what I lived in my first year. But I didn't care. Like, I drove 30 minutes each day from Providence to Foxborough, and I was immersed in something that I enjoyed doing. So I was probably paying my rent. Outside of that, look, I'm pretty low profile. I mean, I'm not a big car guy. Not a big clothing guy. I'm not a big jewelry guy. I know that surprises like the entire city
Shocking,
of Houston right
yeah.
now. But, so
you're not going to wear the Player of the Week chain around the locker room at any point this season?
Don't ask me about that, Sean. I don't think that's a good question that you should ask.
Okay. I probably should have chopped off the preamble about his old apartment for purposes of this cut. But Nick, I don't think a big fan of the chain.
He said, don't ask me about that.
Yeah.
At first, I was like, what, Sean? Yeah, he's just saying he wouldn't personally wear it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it sounded like he didn't even want to bring up the top. What would he not like about the turnover chain?
I don't know.
What's fun and frivolity?
You know, the only thing, well, because I thought the same thing, Seth, especially because Nick is a big WWE guy. And that is like a version of a WWE thing. Like, that's a belt almost, right? And I thought maybe the one thing he doesn't like about it would be that it over accentuates individual accomplishment above the team, maybe. Right?
Yeah. That's where I wondered. I wondered if maybe it was.
Or maybe he just didn't like how it looks.
Maybe he didn't like the idea of just external, extrinsic rewards.
Yeah.
They're always trying to tell you, like, hey, you got to be motivated by internal things, not these trinkets and money and all that stuff. So maybe that was it. Although, I mean, Belichick's yacht is called. What, 7 rings or something?
Is it?
However many rings he has now. I think he adds the Giants rings in with it. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know.
At least 7 then, yeah.
7 rings, yeah. So Belichick doesn't shy away from trinkets.
No.
Well, of course, that's a team award. team, you know, that would be the ring of the team award ultimately.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that's what Belichick's thinking when he paints seven rings onto his boat? Like, really highlighting the team here, you know? And it's glad I can highlight all the fellas here as he sails off in his big yacht.
He had all seven Super Bowl rings on when he met his new girlfriend on that flight. He's sitting next to her on that
and he's just casually like putting his hand on his face, you know? Like,
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I just were you distracted by these many rings on my hand?
Did I knock your coffee over? Which ring hit your coffee right there?
These were when I exhibited the extreme dominance in the most manly of all sports. Yes.
I'm mad at myself.
At least in America.
I'm mad at myself that I didn't separate Nick's apartment story from the chain, because that apartment story is excellent. Making $14K. We'll have to repurpose that. We've got more Casario.
Well, he's talking about how much he loved, you know, you're living in meager circumstances, but you just love what you're doing. I was watching some billionaire. You know, I get about like one out of every five things that pops up on my social media these days is some billionaire giving advice. And, claims to be a billionaire giving advice, usually. No, but it was interesting. This guy was a bona fide billionaire.
Okay.
He's talking about work-life balance and like really it's an individual thing that ultimately for him it comes down to, okay, are you actually enjoying what you're doing?
Yeah.
All right, and you know, some people work 9 hours a day and that's perfect for them. Other people can work 18 hours a day and that's perfect for them for their work-life balance.
Yes. But
as long as you're like really enjoying what you're doing. And also, I mean, how much do your kids hate you?
Yeah,
they're going to hate you a little bit. But like, all right, is this the appropriate level that my kids hate me right now, or have I gone a little too far?
They might like nice things. You know, that's the thing. All right, Payne and Pendergast, we'll get to headlines. We've got some Texans news that applies to Sunday's game injury report. We've got some baseball as well last night. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, today's headlines. Let's start with the Texans. We'll get to the injury report in just a second. C.J. Stroud met with the media yesterday, and C.J. Stroud, for a young guy, an historian of the game. He respects the history of the game. There is maybe no more historic place in the NFL than Lambeau Field. Up in Green Bay, here's C.J. Stroud on his first opportunity to play in Green Bay.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you dream as a kid to, you know, go play at this stadium. And it's a historical stadium, a lot of, you know, great games played in there. And, you know, to go for my first opportunity to be, you know, up there against a great team, you know, is going to be an honor, and I can't wait.
Thought it was really cool yesterday in his press conference, D'Amico Ryans. We'll play this a little bit later. D'Amico was asked the same thing about Lambeau, and he was like, man, I'm telling my guys to embrace it. You know, like, walk around, take a look around. And it was the total opposite of what, like, Gene Hackman did in Hoosiers. Remember that? Like, in Gene Hackman in Hoosiers, pulls out the tape measure, and he's like, still 10-foot rims?
Yeah.
Still 15-foot free throws?
Right.
Same place. Don't get too caught up in the moment, guys, you know?
Yeah. Most of the guys in the NFL have played in some pretty big environments, so it's not like they're past that intimidation stage.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the kind of honoring the history of the NFL and everything. D'Amico was when he answered that question, I thought it was really I think it was kind of emblematic of maybe the kinds of guys that he wants on his team too, because he said, look, you're a fan of football. Yeah, of course you care about this stuff if you love football. There are some good football players who actually don't like football all that much. They're just freakishly naturally talented, but they're not necessarily fans of football or don't even actually love it. Like, D'Amico does not want those guys on his team.
No.
So I feel like the guys that they want on this team are guys that are going to have an appreciation for the history of football, which is cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. It comes with the package. Here was D'Amico yesterday on the last time I was there, actually. Well, he may have played there when he got to Philly. I shouldn't say that. I was there the last time he played there as a Texan in 2008. It was cold, man. It was the fifth coldest game in Lambeau history in December.
Oh, it was?
In December 2008.
In a place that's had a lot of cold games.
Yes, it was cold, and they won. That's the only time they've ever beaten the Packers, the Texans, was in 2008. Here was D'Amico on playing in Lambeau Field.
Last time at Lambeau, I remember it being cold. That's what I remember. Lambeau is a special place. I told our players that today. It's a special place to play. You talk about, you know, the history of football, right? It's always special to play there, and it's even more special when you can get a victory in Lambeau because they always have, you know, a tough team. It's always a tough battle there. Guys, be prepared. But I want our guys really
you know, understand the atmosphere, right, and really just take a look and look around and see how special that place is. And like I told him today, it's even more special when you get a win. It's not going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough, right? They're a tough team, really well-prepared team. We have our hands full, but man, I want our guys to embrace the moment of playing in Lambeau.
It is wild. Like, the fact that the AFC teams play NFC teams so infrequently.
Yeah.
The Texans have been around for over 2 decades now. It's only the third time they'll have played at Lambeau Field. They played there in 2008 with the game I was just talking about where they won, and the Texans played there in 2016. That was the every interception has a story game from Brock Osweiler.
Oh, really?
Back in 2016, it was. That was the Packers game.
I didn't even remember which game that was attached to.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's something he said after every game.
Yeah, no, if I'm
not
mistaken.
Tell you a story about this interception.
Yep. Okay. And there were plenty of stories to tell with Brock, for sure.
The temperature on Sunday is going to be a high of 75 in Green Bay.
Are you serious?
So, yeah. I'm not a meteorologist, Sean, so I don't know if that's below freezing or
not. This might be the stat that I'm most concerned about giving right now.
I don't think it's going to be the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
That's cool.
But go to an actual scientist for that, whether or not that's freezing or not. I go to mostly political commentators for my meteorology reports.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's 49 here right now in Houston. Feels great, man. Injuries. Biggest concern injury-wise right now for the Texans, Seth, is it the two linebackers being out? I know they're missing guys that are major concerns. Like, missing Kamari Lassiter is a major concern. Missing Jimmy Ward is, unfortunately, it's something we've dealt with before with Jimmy Ward, but he's out. That's a problem. But Azeez Al-Shaair and Henry Toa missing practice yesterday is a big deal.
And the biggest thing, I know immediately, your first thought is, oh boy, what are they going to do in coverage? Especially, you know, Neville Hewitt, it's awesome, loves to hit people, but he's an old school linebacker in a lot of ways. He's not as good in pass coverage as a lot of linebackers. I'm not honestly as concerned about just, like, you're not going to be asking those guys to lock up in man and one-on-one man coverage or anything. It's the play action in general. The Packers do all of that Coop Shanahan-y stuff really well.
Really well.
They set up the play action really well. Hansen and Neville Hewitt last year were some of the guys that struggled versus play action and biting too hard on the run. Neville Hewitt loves to come up and stuff people in the run game. That can be a liability in the play action game.
That can be a liability when they're not running on that
when
play.
Not actually running the football, right?
Damn, I hate that. I love Neville Hewitt. I hate that.
Well, no, it's a mad. But look, it's his second year in this system.
Yeah,
and he played well. Played really well last week when he played. So
he did.
I'm not going to act like it's not a downgrade if you don't have Henry Toa and Al-Shaair out there. But it's not the end of the world. It's just really, it's going to be a matter of discipline.
Yeah.
It's on the back end too. The Packers do a really good job of stressing you. They have all kinds of pre-snap motion, different stuff they do out of the backfield. Discipline is paramount, and that's one of the things that's hurt the Texans at times. Both in the linebacking core and in the secondary, they haven't been super disciplined, and they allow big plays. Like this week, you can't get away with some of those mistakes.
Yep. Real quick, the Dodgers beat the Mets last night, 8-0 in the NLCS. The Dodgers take a 2-1 lead in that series. Seth, did you happen to see that Devontae Adams' hamstring is healed?
I know. It was a miracle comeback.
I mean, like the hand of God reached down. And
I think a lot of times it's people don't want to credit the miraculous healing powers of the New Jersey climate.
Right.
That's long known as the place you go to recover and relax, is to go to New Jersey.
Yes.
There's just something in the air.
Particularly the Meadowlands, the
especially
swamps.
Yeah, right across the river from New York City, where amidst all the chemical plants
chemicals,
and everything. That yes. Yeah. Is there just something about it that has magical healing powers?
Asbestos, dead bodies. Yeah, those are very relaxing things. In all seriousness, regarding Devontae Adams and the hamstring, because I merely tweeted, wow, it's a miracle or something. What a recovery. And I got a lot of heat from people like, hey, this could be that the Raiders were holding Devontae out because they were going to trade him, not Devontae feigning an injury to stay off to the side, and then which is fair. Like, I was probably being intentionally, kind of nebulous about the whole thing.
You're just having a good time.
Just having a good time on the X, man. That's all I'm doing. Who do you think it was the Raiders that were keeping him out because they were moving him? Like, this was this a collaborative hamstring injury with Devontae and the Raiders, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was, I would suspect so.
Yeah.
I don't think this was him withholding services. I think it was him requesting a trade and them saying, yeah, it's probably time to move on, so we'll call it a hamstring and get you on out of here.
Yeah. So my whole thing, because I got heat from people like, hey, man, this isn't on Devontae. The Raiders did this. And I'm like, where did I say that Devontae was faking it? I just said it was a miraculous recovery.
Regardless of whose idea it was or what have you, it was a bogus injury.
Yes.
It was a bogus injury.
It's a bogus injury.
That's all there is to it.
Love the word bogus. Yes, it was bogus. What are the Texans getting back with Denico Autry? This is a big one, especially considering some of the injuries on defense. If getting Denico Autry back can kind of counter some of that in a way, that would be huge for the Texans this weekend against Green Bay. We'll hear from Nick Caserio on that. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans on that. We'll hear from Will Anderson. Will Anderson had one of the funniest Denico Autry cuts yesterday. We will get to that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.